created him, well, then the struggle begins, and we are to mortify the old man, or the members of the flesh. The old man is term used for the nature that we have inherited from Adam after he sinned. And it's not speaking about the flesh per se, but it's speaking about human nature. It's speaking about our proneness to sin, our taste, as Apostle puts it, for sin. The human nature in its sinful condition is just has a taste for sin. But the new man, the new creature in Christ, is, of course, cannot sin because it is born of God, the scriptures teach us. And there's a principle of righteousness that comes with that new birth. And the new man, he desires to serve God. He desires to follow on to know him. He hungers and thirsts after righteousness. And he feels to be poor in spirit because he is yet in this body of death. And but Apostle Paul said that he was in a strait that it would be best to depart from this body and to be with Christ. It would be far better, he said, to depart and to be with Christ. But it was better for the disciples in his day that he should remain in the body because God had given him the gospel, a measure of the gospel to preach unto them. And it was for their benefit that he suffered these things. He said, I suffer these things for the elect's sake, that they might obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And so Christ has obtained for God's dear children eternal glory. And he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. But the Apostle Paul said he would that they would obtain the salvation, the saving that's in the gospel, in the knowledge of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And so he endured, I believe he said he'd been whipped five times, 40 stripes save one, been stoned and shipwrecked and numerous things. He said he suffered all of those things for the elect's sake, that they might obtain this salvation that's in Christ, and that's through hearing, believing, and knowing, and obeying the gospel, and with eternal glory. Now, Christ has obtained eternal glory for his dear children, and they shall all have it because he has given eternal life to them. He says, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. But in this present life, we are to follow on to know him. That is, those that have the privilege of sitting under the gospel and hearing the gospel preached, then they are commanded to take up their cross and follow him and to deny themselves and to be separate, to come out from the world. And those that are in Babylon, the commandment to them is that to be ye separate and to come out from them, that you receive not of her plagues. And so he says here then that he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So in the new birth, if Christ be in us, well, then we are living in the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul says that if ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, we are to follow after the Spirit and fulfill not the lust of the flesh. That's where the warfare is. And that's what the race is running the race with patience, is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Christ is the author of our faith, and he is the finisher of our faith. And he is the one that has fulfilled the law, has perfectly demonstrated a faith that is completely reliant upon God, and he failed in no respect of living a life of faith and of living a life of righteousness. And in doing that, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so Christ then is the federal head of all of his people. It is his righteousness that he wrought out and is imputed to them that believe on Christ and believe Christ. It was, the Apostle Paul said, that Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And he said that was not written for Abraham's sake, but it was written for our sakes, and that it would be that the righteousness of God would be imputed to us also if we believed on Jesus Christ, that God had raised him from the dead. And so in believing the righteousness of God that he has wrought out through Christ our Lord, when we are blessed by the leading of the Spirit of life that's in us, or in his dear children, there is a... Paul said that when he saw another law in his members that warred against him, and that was the law of sin and death that was in his members. And so the flesh is contrary to the spirit, and it hinders us from doing that which we would do. That's when he says that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And that which I would do, I do not. And that which I would not do, that I do. And he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. And so then we, the baptism, when the child of God has heard the gospel of his salvation, how that Christ died for our sins, was crucified, and that he was the fulfillment of all the sacrifices that had been made by the Jewish nation for 1,500 years, and even before that, we read of Abel offering up a lamb from the very beginning of the human race, which typified the Lamb of God that was yet to come, which was the seed of the woman promised unto our first parents. And so when we see that when we are baptized, when we call for baptism and are buried with him in baptism, we are portraying that we believe that Jesus died for our sins, and then he was raised again for our justification. He was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. And when we call for baptism is an ordinance that Christ has given his church. And I believe Brother Gene says that we are his witnesses. The Lord said that ye are my witnesses. And we are witnessing then to this wonderful truth that we believe that we have been baptized by the Spirit. We have been born of the Spirit of God, and that without the new birth, without the Spirit of God, we are none of Christ. The Scriptures tells us that, but we have every evidence to believe that we are born of the Spirit if we receive the gospel, if we hear the gospel, and we find a witness in it, in our own soul, if something in here says yea and amen when we hear of how Christ died and suffered for sin, and that God has justified the guilty. He is just and justifier of him that believeth on Jesus. When we find a witness for that in here, then we have evidence that God has visited us and that we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. That we have been transformed from that kingdom of darkness wherein sin abides. The apostle says here that he that lives in sin has no part with Christ. We read of Christ, he died for sin. And the apostle says that we are dead to sin. And there are some who live in sin. And to live in sin is evidence that we do not have the Spirit of Christ in us. The law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, is just as operative as the law of gravity is in nature, the laws that govern the universe. And so there's a law of sin and death that's ruling in our members, and man is made captive to that. He does not have the ability to free himself from that. Men teach all the time that man has a free will, that he is a free moral agent. But man is not moral, he's immoral by nature. He loves sin, and he commits sin. And so he is not a moral agent, he's an immoral agent by nature. And agent is somebody that is a representative of somebody else. So the whole term is, to me, is a foreign term to the scriptures. Man does not have the ability by taking thought to add to his statute one cubic. Neither can he. The apostle, the Lord said that, how can ye that accustomed to doing evil turn and do good? And so we do not have that power. We have a power to make decisions on a daily basis about what we might want to eat or what we're going to wear that day. And we are free in that sense. We have a certain amount of freedom to make decisions daily on a daily basis of what we would do. But I do not have the choice of being born into this world free from a sinful nature. Ever since Adam sinned, he is the federal head of the human race, and men are born with that nature to sin. And so we do not, that is not a choice that we have. The new birth and the new life, the new creature, eternal life, this is a gift of God. And a gift, when you have life, it is not something that you decided to accept or to reject. It's a gift. You have it. And so when you are born into this world alive, and coming into this world alive, well, you have life. You didn't decide whether you would have it or wouldn't have it, or accept it or reject it. You were born into the world alive. And so we apostle says that, that here that we were the servants of sin. But thank God you have been delivered from that. And so he is telling us that have been justified by the blood of Christ and have been justified by faith and believing on Christ, then that we are baptized. We are to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Christ said he commissioned his apostles to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And the apostle says then, so know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. And so Christ died, and the glory of God raised him from the dead. The power of God raised him from the dead. And so then we who have believed in Christ, then we ought to reckon ourselves, the old man is dead to sin. And he said, he that is dead to sin cannot live any longer therein. And we are not teaching here that God's people do not sin, as some teach that they cannot. I've heard some say that they cannot sin. And but we are not teaching that. We know that God's people sin. We all sin daily, sins of omission and sins of commission. And but it is not something that we deliberately do and set out to do. It is the consequences of the natural flesh, the nature of the natural man. But then our desire and our aim is to serve God and to follow on to know him in righteousness and to follow Christ as our example, as a captain of our salvation, to be as near like him as we can, because we have been predestinated to be conformed to his image, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And of course we'll never be like that until we receive the new body in the new world that is yet to come. But yet that is to be our aim, that we are to press towards the prize of the high calling of God as it is in Christ Jesus as we run this race down here. So when we are buried with him in baptism, and of course this teaches us that the mode of baptism is to be buried in water, just as you bury somebody that's dead. He said we've been buried in baptism unto the death of Christ. And so we liken Christ died for sin, and therefore we are dead to sin. That is, that we should not live in sin, that it doth not have dominion over us. Just as Christ died and then rose from the dead, and death has no more dominion over him, because he has fulfilled the law in every respect, which demands death for transgression. And so he died and fulfilled every claim of the law. And now he has risen from the dead, and the law has no more claim over him. And the scripture says that we are dead to the law, that we might be married to Christ, that we are dead to the law by the body of Christ, that we might be married to another, and that is that we might follow after Christ. And so then we have in this teaching here the legal and judicial sense in which that we are dead, and then in a practical sense in which we are to act like we are dead to sin. And not that we don't slip and sin, and but yet it is not our daily practice. It is not our desire. It is not something that we long to do or love to do. Man, in nature alone, he lives for sin. He lives for himself. He lives to satisfy himself. He lives to fulfill his likes and his lust and so forth. And that's what life consists of. But to the man of God, though he still is plagued in the presence of sin, yet he is not under the dominion of it anymore. As the apostle says here, we're not under the dominion of sin. It shall not reign over you. In nature, sin reigns, and it reigns supreme. And in this new man, it does not. Righteousness reigns. And it we are then to follow after the new man and not after the old man. We are to mortify the members of our body, that old man, he says. And for he says, if ye be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And so Christ died, and in a legal, judicial sense, we died when he died. And when he arose from the grave, we also arose with him. And in that glory world that shall yet come, we shall have a glorified body like unto his body. And but until then, we have this, the Apostle Paul likened it unto a dead, him carrying a dead body around, just like he had a man strapped to his back that was dead. He said, "O wretched man, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he likened himself as to being made alive in Christ, but yet he was still strapped to this body of death that he was carrying around. And so then when in that case, we are not under the dominion of sin, but we are still plagued with its presence, with its temptations, and sometimes we stumble and fall into sin. But the very intent of our life is to follow Christ and to serve him and to be a witness of his mercy and grace. And so he says, "Know ye not to what then shall we sin, because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid." And so he would discredit those that accused him of preaching we should sin. It's free. We're free to sin because we're under grace. But on the other hand, the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching them that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live sober and righteously in this present world, looking for that great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall come from heaven. And that is our wonderful and blessed hope. Though that we are born under the law of condemnation and sin, and we come into the world this way, yet if we are what we hope to be, Christ has called us and quickened us and given us this eternal life that he alone can give. In doing this, he has delivered us from the condemnation of the law, and we are dead to sin. Brethren, when we think about that, I don't know how it was with you, but with me in my younger life, I can look back and see how completely I was under the dominion of sin. And but yet, if not deceived in my heart, I have been delivered from that. It is not my desire even to think about those things now. I think about them at times and just spontaneously, and then try to put them out of my mind. It is something I desire not to even think about, much less to commit or to participate in anymore. And so if I'm not deceived, I've been delivered from that law of sin and death that reigns supreme in the natural man. And there is now in my very depths of my soul a desire to follow after Christ, to honor him, to be a witness of his mercy and grace, and of the life that he has given me. He suffered. When I read of his suffering, there are times when it comes to me that I should have been the one receiving that. I should have been crucified. I should have been whipped. I should have been forsaken by God like he was. It was me that had rebelled and sinned against God, my Maker and my Creator. And I did it deliberately. I did it willingly. He didn't make me do it. It just come naturally. It was just part of me, and it was part of my life, and I loved it. And I desired to get as much of it as I could. But then the very things that was once my pleasure became my prison, and I became grieved and unhappy in the very things that I was trying to continue to accomplish became a source of worry and condemnation and guilt. And if not deceived, I called on God for help. Now, I don't remember what I said nor how I said it, but I know I went in the bedroom and got on my knees and I cried, "Lord, have mercy on me." I knew I was gone, and righteously so if God didn't help me. And from that day, things began to change in my life. And I began to read the Bible. And I read of how terrible a thing sin was to God, that he hated it so bad he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. God is so righteous and so holy and so good that though he gave a people to his son, yet their sins would have to be paid for. And his son said, "I'll pay for them. I'll pay for them." And he did. He laid down his life. He was delivered for our offenses. And by his resurrection, we are justified. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to feel the peace of God in the heart, that God has put your sins away. And the apostle says that when we believe that, then we should demonstrate it by taking his name on us publicly and calling for baptism and to be buried with him in baptism, confessing that we are sinners and by nature under the righteous judgment and condemnation of the law of God. But by his marvelous grace, we have been crucified with Christ, and now we want to rise in newness of life and follow on to know him and to follow him. And we pray that these remarks might be encouraging to God's people, that they can be strengthened in the Spirit to believe that God has surely put their sins away, and that in so doing it, he delivered up his son, that he might, for our offenses, put them away. But then, after he had fulfilled the law and every demand, it says it had no more dominion over him, and he was raised from the dead. And so may God add his blessings to his precious word, and may we, let's sing Amazing Grace, and we'll publish the doors of the church open. If there's one or more here today that has not followed their Lord in baptism, but would love to be buried with him beneath this sacred wave to portray their faith in him, that he has put their sins away, we'll give you that privilege while we're assembled together. What page? 69. Page 69. Oh, hymn 169. It's page 69 and it's hymn 169. Sing when you're ready, brethren.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I see.
everyone coming and being with us today. We appreciate Brother Hogan and Sister Hogan coming and being with us, and we hope he don't have to come and travel at his own expense. Lunch has been brought out. We invite everyone to stay and have lunch with us. Next meeting, second Sunday in September, will be our communion day, and we invite and hope each and every one of you can come back and be with us at that time. Thank you.
You know, Kent Walker has promised to be with us next meeting day, and there may be others that we have promised. Also, there's 5 Sundays in this month, and Julian Hill will have a 5th Sunday meeting on Sunday starting at 10 a.m. And they're having a Saturday night meeting. Brother Casey, Elder Casey, is to be there. And I understand that High Point is having the 5th Sunday meeting beginning at Saturday at 1:30. And I think Elder Casey is going to be with them on Saturday afternoon at High Point. Healthy Plains is having their annual meeting this 5th Sunday. They're starting Friday and Saturday at 10 a.m. and at 1:30 a.m. and 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And Pine Ridge Church is having an all-day meeting. I believe it's their anniversary. I don't know what year, but if there are other 5th Sunday meetings, I don't know if there's probably some around here.
I'm not sure. Would like to make mention on Saturday before the 5th Sunday will be the singing at the Primitive Baptist Library, and we invite each and every one to participate in that if will.
Bill, 5th Sunday at McCray's.
McCray's
Church.
5th Sunday meeting at McCray's Church, Sister Louise said. That singing, that 5th Sunday we have singing at the library every Saturday before the 5th Sunday. I keep forgetting that. Should announce that. Bow with us and we ask the Lord to dismiss this most kind and merciful Heavenly Father. It's again to be bowed in thy presence and design. Humbly thank thee, our Father, for the gift of thy darling Son, that come down in this little ground of sin and sorrow and suffering in our room to stand and give unto us not received our Father eternal life, and that it should never perish, because thou didst give us to him, and he says that no man can pluck them out of thy hand. Father, we thank thee for this wonderful truth that's a comfort to our hearts in times of distress. Now, Father, we thank you again for the church here at Reedsville. We thank you, dear Lord, for those who come from time to time to worship bow down before thee, that we might have fellowship together and commune together with thy divine spirit. We thank you, Lord, for these many merciful blessings. Now, Lord, as we take the departing hand, we pray that thou would go with us, be with each one as they go their several ways. Be our light in darkness and our strength in weakness. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.